WMFO in Medford. This is Sky By here. We're going to have Mark Lind with me in about 12 minutes or so. Talk about his music, his record label, a lot of good stuff. Play some of his music. I love his new release quite a bit, but right now I'm going to play some rock and roll for you to start things off. This is Social Distortion.
years I've been chasing down the ghost, singing songs that add up to nothing. That's just the way it goes. Now you sing the chorus, I'll sing the verse. Yeah. Give me a few to see if I can write some words. Well, go on straight to tomorrow. Together, come what may.
All right, WMFO in Medford, 813 Skybar. Happy to have Mark Lind with me. Thanks for coming in, man.
Psych. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, I really love all the stuff you do, going back to the Ducky Boys, right up to... I even missed a couple of bands, because I know you've been in a ton, but right up to the Warning Shots, to the Unloved, and...
I just need something to do, you know?
Keep busy, yeah.
Yeah.
So what... The Ducky Boys, was that your first outfit group?
Oh, yeah. The Ducky Boys started when we were all, like... I was 18.
Yeah.
We didn't know what we were doing. We just got a band together because the priest at the local parish in Charlestown said we could practice in his hall. Yeah, so we just started playing together, and then we were doing like Rancid songs, Bruce's songs. And then one day I was like, I have an idea. Let's try playing our own song.
And yeah.
That was it.
And how old were you then, was it?
18. So that was the fall after high school. Well, it's 25 years ago. This is the 25th year for Ducky Boys. So
that's right. That's a little teaser there.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens with that.
Well, very hopeful about that. I think before the end of the year, something might come together.
Yeah, because you still have a great draw, I think, with the Ducky Boys, right? Whenever you play out, there's a pretty good crowd.
It's, yeah, and we can't, like, I can't walk away from that if there's people that care. So hopefully it will happen again, especially this year. We backed off of doing like a 15th anniversary for Three Chords and the Truth.
Yeah.
That was last year. This year, we have a holdout of one of the four guys, but we may have to make some decisions.
Yeah.
So, we'll see.
So, you're a busy guy. You have the label going. We'll talk a bit more about the label a bit later on. But you morphed from the Ducky Boys. Was Saints and Sinners next, or...
So Ducky Boys has been like a constant.
Right.
And in between, there seems to be other things. So it went from Ducky Boys to Sinners and Saints to Dirty Water, back to Ducky Boys, The Unloved, Ducky Boys, The Warning Shots, Ducky Boys, you know? So it's kind of it always goes back to that.
And The Unloved was a bit of a departure for you, because you, for a while, didn't you have a female?
On one CD.
Just one track or just one CD?
One CD. We did it on the full CD so that there could be some participation live.
Yeah.
But it's only on one of the records.
Yeah, I love all that stuff. I'm gonna play something by the I'm gonna play something off your warning shots. And the Warning Shots, I thought, was a I don't know if I'm right, but it seemed a little more like almost cinematic to me. Like grander,
yeah,
for lack of a better word, than like the Ducky Boy stuff. Like, let's say it was a little more like...
The idea was sort of like Rich and Nick can really sing well and harmonize beautifully. And the idea was I'll just do the raspy verses and then you guys sing big hooks in the choruses. But having five people on the stage and having Nick in the band, because he's a real performer, really, it turned into like a spectacle sort of. And I liked being a part of that. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. So I'm going to play something by the Warning Shots, and then we'll be back and talk a bit more about some of Mark's other stuff. These are the Warning Shots.
Take our souls.
Right, that is off of the new CD, Last Bastion. I was talking about Mark Lind and the Unloved. I love that one a lot. That whole CD is great stuff.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun to do.
Yeah, and we were talking off here. You kind of pulled a few different people for that one, right?
Yeah, so I grabbed Jesse, the drummer from Diablo Gato, and Andrew, the guitar player and singer for Art Thieves. And it was most the three of us played the basics, and then Jeff Morris from the Bruisers, he overdubbed lead guitar at his studio in Chicago.
Yeah, the showing how my age here, but I told Mark, I saw Jesse when he was in Shake the Faith about, I don't know, 35 years ago. I don't know what it was.
He's a lifer.
I saw them twice one day. Remember they used to have the cruises, the BCN, I think it was the BCN cruises. I saw him on a daytime cruise, and that night, I think, I forget the brand new, but I saw him that night as well. So that was a crazy night. But yeah, and so now we've got a record label going.
Yeah.
How long has that been up and functioning, if you want to call it that?
Well, I started it a long time ago to put out like an Unloved EP, the one with the female vocals on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it went away for a while. But Ducky Boys got royally screwed in our previous record contract. So when we got back together to do Chasing the Ghost, we knew we weren't going to give our stuff to anybody, even if it meant like starting over and just building up an audience again. It made more sense to do that and try to connect with the people who really like us than turn our record over to somebody and basically forfeit the rights to it, which is what's happened with some of our older stuff. So it's a drag, but I'll figure it out eventually.
But you've pulled in some great local bands. Diablo Gato, we just played.
So that really started to take off around like 2016.
Because
first it was just the two Ducky Boys albums. And then
just to get your stuff out there.
Yeah. And we wanted to have other bands in there. We tried with Brian McPherson, but I couldn't afford to press it on vinyl. I should have. That's what it should have been on. I wasn't thinking straight, or I just didn't know the industry well enough. But so I eventually gave the master back to Brian, and he's repressing his own material now. But then we brought in the Pinkerton Thugs, to do a reissue of one of their old albums, Oxymoron, one of theirs, and then some new bands like Michael Caine and the Morning Afters.
Yeah. Great band.
Stolen Wheelchairs, which is a now 18-year-old kid.
I have that one. I have the Stolen Wheelchairs CD, I think. I got that from your label a while ago.
Yeah, that's one kid, one 16-year-old kid playing every instrument
on
that.
I didn't know that.
Andy recorded it himself using a computer. So he's making a new album now with his full band, and he's a little bit older, so he's got he's got some musical talent, and he really knows what he wants to do.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to hearing what he comes up with. He's pretty psyched. So.
And we mentioned Duck and Cover.
Yeah.
Another one of your great band. I've been seeing them for a long time.
So Duck and Cover was on a compilation that we did, and then the newest release is their latest 7-inch, which is 3 songs, and every one of them is like...
Yeah, I'm gonna play that in a bit. That whole thing is great, yeah. But and it's mostly vinyl, right?
Yeah, I mean, for the record label, I'll press CDs, but that's really more for the distributor. Even my direct sales on the Get Punk website are like this minimal CDs.
Yeah, because it's what people are demanding the vinyl now. Was that correct? Yeah.
Yeah, that seems to be what they're more into, or just streaming. So it's but you got to have the CDs for the distributor, because they manage to sell them. I don't know how they do it, because people don't want them from me. But
I use both. But I'm a little surprised that, because vinyl is more expensive to make and buy.
Yeah.
So I always thought it was kind of weird. But
I still buy CDs. So
yeah, I do both. But yeah, it's cyclical, it seems like. But I thought vinyl was like, I unloaded a ton of vinyl 10 years ago or something like that. I don't know, because I didn't think it was going to bounce back.
I didn't either.
For a while, I didn't even have a turntable.
Yeah.
I just recently re-upped got a turntable, but it was like all CDs for a long time.
Yeah, I think the reason that vinyl made the resurgence is because people basically did away with physical products, right?
Yeah.
So if they're going to go out of their way to hold the physical product, they may as well have the turntable and the record. And I think people kind of fell back on that because that's the classic format that lasted for so many years in rock and roll. But we'll see. I hope it sticks around.
Yeah.
Never can tell, though.
All righty. I'm going to play... I like the CD a lot, as I've already said a couple times. So I'm going to play something else off that. And we'll talk a bit about a song or two on this. But this is another one from The Last Bastion. Great CD.
We all know the world is true.
All right, that was Duck and Cover, Bleeding Edge, off their Two Shots. I really like their the vinyl there. They get that splatter thing.
Yeah, they came up with that. That was their idea. They told me what to do.
That's a cool looking, yeah, that's cool. But I'm going to talk, I might play, I don't know if I'm going to play any Springsteen, but I got to talk about him for a minute because we were talking a little bit off air. It was weird because when I was growing up, a lot of people I know did not like him. And so I found it, anytime I find someone that's kind of like a punk influence, and I, you know, you're not totally punk, it's, I would call it rock punk, but anyone that, that like has that leaning that likes him, I'm almost like a little surprised by.
The Steen gene is what they call it. So we got the Steen gene.
I know your dad did, right?
Dad did. Yeah, I took him to see him in Fenway. So
yeah,
we had a good
Fenway.
Time.
Yeah, I've seen him. I responded 20. I've seen him like 70 times.
That's impressive. That's like, have you met Mark Linsky from Hudson Falcons?
No.
He's also a huge fanatic. Yeah. And he's seen him ballpark, same as you have. He probably hit it off with Mark really well.
But I imagine... And I was telling you, I think that, like, lyrically, the guy's pretty deep, and I think sometimes he gets, if you just hear the radio tunes, and especially the later ones, like the Born, you miss his better songs, I think, for lack of a better word, some of his deeper songs.
He's got some lyrics that just kind of sum up everything. I don't know how he can just paint a picture in words in a short amount of words that just, I don't know, man, he's got like a tap right to the human soul or something like that. But
yeah,
I mean, this, he's actually put out songs that I've heard and it's kind of like made me emotional, and like I don't get emotional over anything,
right?
But to hear him like the Broadway thing we were talking about, and hear him talking about his father and how every character is his father, it's just I couldn't believe it.
The joke was his father, like when he talked to us all about his music, and his father said, "Well, I like the one that you know you wrote about me," and that was a good chunk of his first three CDs, albums, releases were about his father, and obviously it was resolved, but they had some battles,
They
had some battles growing up, and even later in life, you should read his book when you get a chance, because the book's great. And what I like about him is he's open about his struggles. Like in his book, he goes quite a bit into his battles with depression.
Really?
Yeah. And there's, I forget what, on the Wrecking Ball, there's a song called My Depression. And that is pretty much, and I didn't know it at the time. I heard Wrecking Ball, that I was listening to that CD. But if you listen to that song, it's pretty much... So it's right on the sleeve. You know, he wears it on his sleeve. And sometimes it gets lost amidst the jangly songs.
He's so good at kind of disguising things, though, because, I mean, I'm sure if we went back and looked at his first three albums and went song by song, we could be like, oh, yeah, that's got to be about his father. It's got to be. But on a first listen, you don't necessarily realize that. I thought that song, My Depression, was about, he was saying, like, the Great Depression of our time or something like that.
He's good at that. He's good at that. He's good at masking things.
Yeah.
You know?
Tom Petty, to me, goes more straight for the hook. Don't bore us, get to the chorus. But Bruce Springsteen, there's just so much more to it.
He'll trick you now and then. And so that's cool. So have you... You were saying that sometimes people... You tell them that you're a Springsteen fan, and they're a bit... Not taken aback, but you're not in the majority, I would imagine, with your...
In the 90s, when we were playing at the Rat, if I told people I like Bruce Springsteen and Guns N' Roses as two of my favorite bands, they'd laugh at me. So then both of those bands got a resurgence in popularity, and nobody seems to be laughing anymore.
Right.
But in 1997, 1998, 99, those are some lean years to be a Springsteen and Guns N' Roses fan.
Right.
Especially in the punk world.
Yeah. But you wrote it. You wore a, I think it was the Chasing the Ghost. You had a Springsteen shirt on.
Somewhere, yeah. I have the Dancing in the Dark shirt and
that might have been my first, because I went to that show, and that might have been my first indication that he must like him somewhere. And anytime I see someone that likes him, I'm like, wow, like I said, a little surprised. So yeah, that's cool that we have that Springsteen link, if you want to call it that. I'm gonna play More Off Less Passion because I like it so much. I think I'm going to play That Night.
Okay.
What's that about?
Well, we almost called it Paris Night because that's really what it says, but I just changed it at the last minute. The Warning Shots were playing a show up at the Chit Chat Lounge in Haverhill, and that was the night of the concert shooting in Paris.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to pack up all my stuff and go home because it was a miserable night, and they had TVs above the bar that are all showing the news. But everybody else just kind of acted like it was a normal Friday. And it seemed that contrast seemed really strange to me, and I just... That's that.
So that was a Warning Shots gig that you were at. When.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to play that. A couple more. Oops. Banging stuff up here. We'll be back in a bit. More from The Last Bastion.
Wake up and text. Text and eat.
Mm-mm.
Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
That was Teenage Bottle Rocket with You Don't Get the Joke off of Stay Rad. Before that, we heard Stubborn Hearts with Don't Freak Out, Jen Lombardi's band. 8:50, we have about 10 more minutes here. So I want to thank you again for coming in, Mark. It's been a blast.
Thanks for having me by.
Yeah, and so what do we got planned this year? Maybe some Ducky Boys things?
Well, I can tell you that...
Is that on? Oh, there we go. I can tell you that we have the Sinclair on hold.
Wow.
But... I have a feeling that we're not going to be able to meet that timeline. So
yeah.
We will have to try to probably replan that. And there'll probably be an Unloved show this year. If I can get Jesse to do it again. I'm sure he will.
Yeah, he was... Did he have some surgery or...
He did.
He banged up?
No, he was back at the gym 2 days later. And he's already back playing with Diablo Gato again.
Yeah. I saw that on the book that he had some woes.
Yeah, yeah. He addressed them very... quickly and aggressively, and now he's back to 100%. It's amazing.
Yeah. That's great. So you have some Unloved things lined up. Shows, I mean.
Well, that's easily done. It's just a matter of like, hey, you guys want to do it? Pick a date, find a club, and put it together.
Yeah. Ducky Boy's a little more involved?
It has to be, yeah. It's just like trying to get a venue of that size. I have to months in advance. So...
When did you play last with the Ducky Boys?
Last time we played was the Dropkick Murphys' 20th anniversary at Avalon, so that was 2016.
Oh, so it's been a while.
Before that was 2 years. Before that, when we did that firefighter benefit at the Sinclair and Great Scott. And we haven't played one of our own shows since 2013, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
So you're going to keep the label plugging along?
Definitely. I hope that Stolen Wheelchairs and Michael Caine and the Morning Afters will have CDs out and records out this year. And then there's a third band that I haven't quite settled on, but I hope that happens because they're incredible. And we'll see.
And you do this all out of your apartment house? The label, is it kind of like just all kinds of things stashed in rooms everywhere and you just kind of throw it? Do you have a staff at all? Not really.
No, that's why I always say that my cat's the supervisor, because I have nobody working there. But boxes everywhere. It looks like that warehouse at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
But a lot of stuff for State Line goes out to the distributor.
Yeah.
So I'm lucky I don't have to have that stuff there, but the records don't get punk there. So
you know where everything is, though, somewhat.
Yeah, there's a filing system for everything.
Oh, you're good. Yeah, otherwise, you'd be imagining plugging through 15 boxes. I got to get this mailed out. I don't know.
Nobody else could find it if they needed to, but I know where it is.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
Yeah. All right, man. Thanks for coming in.
Again, thanks for
having me. Stateline Records, great label. Mark's been in a lot of great bands, and it's 8:53, so the clock's ticking. I'm going to play a few more. This is by the this is new stuff from the neighborhood. It's not real new, but a couple months ago.
Nice.
From the last
known address. Here we go.
Hello,